about this.
That's all I can do.
You know what else I ain't got? I ain't got no sound engineer. That's what I need. I need somebody to run the soundboard for me. It gets all the time. So, before we get into the show, got a few things to talk about real quick. This is Drive Through HR. I'm Chris Fields, guest hosting this week for the Performance I Create Takeover. That's what the PIC Takeover is about. And it's a multi-contributor website. We have 13 members. You've met most of the members already this week. In fact, after today, you have met all of the new people. Everyone that's on the team you will have met after this show here. So today we have, you know, Justin Harris with us and Kyle Jones. And I'm going to pass it to them to give you a better intro here in just a moment. But we want to reintroduce ourselves to the audience who might not know who we are, what we do. We talk about HR and business from both experiences and geographical locations, which sometimes play into it. It'd be interesting to see when you look at the entire body of work that's on the site. Lots of different perspectives, lots of different flavors. Sure to be something that you can resonate with and connect with. So with that being said, I think I've covered most of it. One small thing, well, let's just say small, but one other thing, we're here, it's our fourth anniversary, and our leader, our organizer who came up with Performance I Create, Chris Ponder, is stepping down to do some other things and to take his mind away for a little while, you know, just kind of get, step back. But we're going to continue on, and that's going to be part of our conversation today, talking about site. The desire to go moving with that whole thing. So, with that being said, I want to introduce our guys today. I want to let them give you a better of themselves, their Twitter handle, and what they do all day, and then or what their titles are, and then we'll come back with some. We start out with Justin, and then we'll go Tim and Kyle. Go ahead, Justin.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Justin Harris. I am the Assistant Director of Equity and Inclusion at Tennessee State University. I have been blogging for a couple of years now, of course, contributing with PIC for about two of those, and I blog at ruhrrelevant.com and cigar.com, cigahr.com. Twitter handle, Unlikely HR Guy.
Tim?
Tim Gardner. I'm the Director of Organizational Effectiveness for Kimberly-Clark Corporation, currently working out of our office in Roswell, Georgia, which is a northern suburb of Atlanta. Twitter, you can find me at Tim J. Gardner, and I also blog occasionally on my blog, thehrintrovert.com, and have been pleased to be part of the Performance I Create team for the last couple of months.
And Kyle.
All right, good deal. I am Kyle Jones. I am a corporate recruiter from Mississippi, and I am with a company called CSpire. My Twitter handle is at KyleMJ6977. I also blog in addition to Performance I Create. I have a website, KyleMJones.com, and I'm also, just as an added thing I always add, I'm a co-host of a Doctor Who Podshock, which is located at podshock.net.
We'll talk about that. That doctor is a big part of who you are. But we'll... Tim, tell us a little bit more about your day-to-day duties or HR, you know, from your world. Tell us a little bit about what...
Sure. So we have a small team of people who work on the field of organizational effectiveness. For us, that means primarily organization design, team effectiveness, and change management activities. So when you work in a corporation that has many different products and divisions, and you also have constantly evolving strategies, and if you're going to change your strategy, you probably need to look at how you do the work that you do and whether that needs to be changed as well. So in organization design, we help various teams across the corporation kind of look at their current work structure as compared to their strategy and figure out whether there's an opportunity there. And when we have major projects that are across the corporation, or at least across major parts of the corporation, we help develop the change management strategies to effectively implement the change that we're trying to bring about. Those are the two biggest areas I get involved in, and sometimes just large HR projects. Last year, we announced the general reduction, and I'm managing that for the corporation as well across our various HR teams. So I get a chance to work with our HR folks all around the world.
Mm. That's never easy, putting those together. One more question about your job before we move on to Kyle. What are some of the things that's different, in HR now than it was maybe, 10 years ago? Not necessarily at that company, but just in general. What are some of the things that you're finding yourself, being a veteran of HR, doing a little bit differently now versus in the yesteryear?
Well, I'm sort of a unique character in the sense that I actually came into HR through engineering and operations. So I don't have the traditional HR kind of background. So one of the things that's different is the recognition that there are problem solvers and project leaders that can help with HR activities without necessarily having all of the detailed HR background. And so I think there's a general acceptance of the fact that HR needs the people that are not just maybe what we have used to call the traditional HR specialists or generalists. They need them to also be able to activate large projects, to be able to help change, manage change. And the recognition of that has really caused, at least in our organization, a much better build of talent, of people who are helping affect change according to our HR strategies.
Okay. All right. Kyle, I want to talk to you for a moment about your new position, because you recently got a new position as well. Tell us about it. Tell us the change, the move, the whole process, and what's some of the big things that you're learning in this new role or this new position that's different from the old one.
All right, good deal. Well, anybody that has read any of my even posts on Performance I Create knows that I went through a pretty big, substantial change last year, but it was a positive change. The company that I worked for merged with another company, and I went from being a HR department of one who had pretty much, for the most part, taught myself. And, it was amazing hearing some of the things that were said from the other contributors earlier in the week about how they got into HR and how networking and being able to reach out to people helped, which, that's what helped me. But now I am a part of an HR department, and I absolutely 100% love that. I love having the interaction with a department that is, this is the payroll, this is that, et cetera. Now, my role has pretty much changed from being, like I said, a jack of all trades to focusing on recruiting, and that has been absolutely exciting. It also precipitated a move about 100 miles north, and I am enjoying that as well. So at this point, I'm happy. So happiness is good.
That's all good. Justin, last but not least on this question, tell us about HR in your world, what you do, and the kind of types of things that you're involved in.
Well, I actually just moved from our HR department here at the university. We actually operate out of two different offices. So now in equity and inclusion, it used to be equal opportunity and affirmative action. So what I do now, and this move was back right at the end of the year. So now primarily I just provide training in regards to equal opportunity, affirmative action, sexual harassment and related topics. Just any type of diversity initiatives that come through our office, investigating and resolving discrimination and harassment complaints, consulting with students and managers as necessary. And I like to say that, primarily I just try to move people. My responsibility is to move people from, tolerance to acceptance in the workplace, and just kind of helping people to embrace and respect people's differences so that we can kind of all just work together and make this place run successfully. So that's what I'm doing now.
huge undertaking, I would imagine. And is it getting stickier and stickier as you go along?
Surprisingly, no. With all the stuff that's going on, a lot of that stuff doesn't really pour over into the university setting. We're kind of like in our own little bubble. The stuff that we deal with, we've been dealing with for years. So current events don't really change that. But it is it's very interesting just because our faculty and staff, you know, so diverse. Just dealing with that dynamic of student professor is just always interesting. So, you know, you would think that, you know, and actually, coming from a world of HR where I was just dealing with employee issues, that added dynamic now of dealing with student and employee issues, sometimes issues with, you know, with the student and the professor or vice versa. So that's just added a new dynamic. You know, my professor did this or my student's doing this. So that's just a whole new ball game for me.
And we're going to stay with you with this next question. I'm going to go with you, then Tim and Kyle. But before I get to the next question, we were kind of joking earlier before we got live that each one of us are living in the South, you know.
Southern Tim. Boys, yeah.
Southern boys. So we're going to dub this episode "Some South in Your Mouth." That's what we're going to call it. So here's the next question for you.
Right. Everybody hashtag that one.
There's an issue for you to figure out right there. So what I want to talk about with you, Justin, I've kind of seen you grow in the blogging world, right? You know, I've noticed your website and reached out to you. We developed a friendship, found out we both were from Memphis and both live in Tennessee and that sort of thing. But you've also taken that and you've parlayed that into the cigar thing, which is a passion of your hobby of sorts and a passion. I want to talk about what you've seen as a result of contributing to your own blog, PIC, and now the cigar. What has this all taught you?
That I am capable of doing, you know, a lot of things at one time, and that I can have four non-paying extra jobs, and still be happy. But it's really taught me balance. I've grown, I think, as a writer, just being able to write about different things and being able to take each one of those styles into the different sites. I think kind of helps me reach different types of people, more people, and it, like I said, it just also helps me grow. It challenges me to relate, you know, cigars to, you know, employees and human resources, or it challenges me to just, you know, to come up with those analogies and just, you know, to be able to relate or talk about something to where everybody can relate to it. You know, something like cigars, it's a specialty. It's something that everybody doesn't do, but if you would read that page, you would still walk away with something. And so I try to do the same thing with HR. I try to, you know, keep it really simple, just really real, so that no matter what you do, you can read it and come away with some nugget of wisdom, something that you want to take back to your workplace, just something to help.
I agree with you. I think writing for several different spots also allows you to let the your inner extra personalities come out and play a little bit. Before we go to Tim with that question or similar question, do a quick reset. This is Drive Through HR. I'm Chris Fields, your guest host. This is the PIC Takeover Week. The Performance I Create crew is on all week, has been on all week, talking about things that interest them, things going on in their life, and just the world of HR. And today we have Justin Harris, Tim Gardner, and Kyle Jones. Tim and Kyle are newer members of the team. And with that, I want to get back to it and ask Tim, if you could talk to us a little bit about, you know, I heard of your website, HR Introvert, but I don't know how long it's been around and how long you've been blogging. So if you could talk to us about how long you've been blogging and what has been inspiring you and, you know, just what you've learned from the blogging process.
Yeah, I started blogging, actually. I had another blog called Safer by Choice. I've spent most of my career in manufacturing. I've really only been in the corporate side for the last 10 years or so, but I spent over 25 years in manufacturing plants, which is kind of where I grew up, so to speak. And safety has always been a passion of mine, and I'm a firm believer that it's manageable just by the way we communicate with people and the way we set expectations. And so I did that for a while and got to know several HR bloggers at the same time. I became a big reader of Trish McFarland and Steve Wallace and Lori Rudiman and some of those folks. And decided after a while that, you know, I really, because of my experience in the HR field, too, I had quite a bit to contribute in that area and struggled with what I would talk about and what I would be. And the reality is I am sort of a to-myself kind of guy. I'm an unusual player in the HR space. I'll go to conferences and such, but I really kind of more of an observer, and I have a lot to say from what I've observed. So that's kind of where the HR introvert sort of came out of. It's like, what have I really seen and learned from all these years of working in these manufacturing plants and then more recently in corporate? And so that's why I've tried to share things I've seen that might help other leaders, might help other HR professionals think through some of the issues and problems that they see.
What inspires you when you write? What inspires you?
I think, you know, I always hated it when I was interviewing people, and I did a lot of interviewing when you staff new facilities, when they would say, I love people. Because, you know, to me, that's such an easy thing to say and say, what does it really mean? So I would say, though, that individual stories are what inspire me. When I see somebody who I know them well enough to know what some of their individual concerns are, some of their individual weaknesses, or and even some of their strengths, and I see them accomplish some pretty amazing things, and I know more of their backstory, if you will, than maybe the typical person does, I get a lot of inspiration out of that, knowing what they have either overcome or what they have challenged themselves to do, and what got them to that point.
Yeah. Kyle, what about you? You've been blogging for a while, HR, or something close to that. Tell us about your blog and what you learned from your blogging experience.
Well, I actually started in this realm at first just to learn, learn about the medium, learn about what, you know, blogging was. I always said, even, you know, in school and college, hey, I want to be a writer. I want to create. And then, you know, I went into different avenues, and finally technology caught up with what I wanted to do and gave the tools that let me do that. So in back around November 2012, I sat down and I said, okay, I want to blog. But what am I going to call it? Because I've got two things that I like doing, and I made myself a list and started looking at it, and everything that was on it had pretty much everything from HR to Doctor Who, and then all of a sudden a light bulb came on, and I was like, okay, there we go, HR to Who. You know, that pretty much sums me up, and that's what I do at work, and then I like watching Doctor Who at home. So it just kind of seemed to fit. So from there, I just kind of got started reaching out to people, and, you know, that's developed into where I am today. So, I want to follow up a little bit on the question that you asked, what inspires you? You know, every time I put a piece of work down, or I put I'm sitting there staring at a blank screen, I have one goal, and if I can, at some way, in some shape, form, or fashion, make somebody think, laugh, cry, whatever, if I can affect somebody, that's what inspires me. If I can just reach one person and make a day difference, a moment difference, but if I can, you know, just get that emotion from some, whatever that emotion is, then that's what inspires me. That's what makes it worthwhile.
Well, I'm going to stay with you with this question, and we're going to get a little closer to home with it. So like I said, we're here, you know, to celebrate the Yahtzee anniversary. You guys are two of the newer guys on the team. Brock was on Monday. We also had Barb and Heather on, Boston and Kirsten. So we've gotten everybody kind of at least intro to the audience out there. But I want you to tell me, and you've talked about this before, but I want to tell us again, why you decided that, you know, what attracted you to PIC, and then when you heard the news stepping away, what was your decision to stay and keep going? How did that come about? So tell us about what attracted you to PIC, and then the decision for him to step down, but you decided to keep going. How did that happen?
Okay, well, that's actually a very easy question to answer. Whenever I started reading blog A, blog B, blog C, one of the things that kept me coming back to PIC was a tagline that you guys used to use that disappeared from the site, but I used to love the taglines. I create, and then whatever your specification, whatever your niche was, I loved that. And it was, and I actually, and I'm gonna go ahead and say this. I already had my tagline written out. It was whenever you guys got, to the point, and I got an official person on the, on the group. My tagline was going to be, "I create performance throughout time and space." I was like, "Okay, that's going to be wonderful." But it was just the quality of the content that you guys did, and it was like, okay, I just like this. You guys seem to be a good group. And it was like, okay, this is something that I want to be a part of. So, I reached out to a couple of people, and here I am today.
And then what about, continuing on? When that news came, I'm sure you had to think for a moment, like, are we going to keep going? Do I want to keep going? What happened there?
Well, it wasn't me thinking, do I want to keep going? It was actually, I hope they keep going. There wasn't a decision. I mean, Chris Ponder, I give him total props for creating.
You won with that answer. Yeah. I don't think Tim and Justin can top that, but I'm going to give him a chance. So we'll go with Tim. We'll go with Justin. Justin, tell us about, you've been on the site, but when you heard about Chris stepping down, what was your thought process as far as continuing on or what you were?
When he called and we talked about it, I got it. I understand that. Things go on, and it's a big undertaking. Dealing with y'all knuckleheads, I'm sure it's hard. I mean, that's a full time job. They're like, Janine and Tiffany, and I mean, y'all are hard work. So I could just imagine what he was dealing with on a daily basis. But no, I was excited for him just because he was doing new things. And I knew that the team that we had built would last. So I wasn't worried about, I didn't doubt for a second that things would stop. I know how we operate, and we're all so hard-headed that we wouldn't have let that stop us anyway. I was excited for him, and I was excited for the, what was to come. Sky's the limit.
Tim, how about you? Your decision to join and then the decision to stay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so like Kyle, I think I followed PIC for quite a while, and I've known several of your contributors on a personal basis. I've known Steve Brown and Jay Coons, and of your current contributors, I know Melissa, I know Dave. I met Chris last fall at HR Revolution, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else that I know in that group. And I've interacted with several of you all. I know Kyle and I, we've never spoken to each other, but we've traded comments. I used to live in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where he just moved from. So I always got caught up with some of his stories. And so it's like old home week for me there. So I kind of knew several of the people. So when Chris actually stepped down, and I had just met him, a few months before then, I think I was like Kyle in the sense that I didn't really even think about it as meaning that this would go away, because I knew enough about all those people and what they were doing. And then those that I haven't met, like Justin, like Kirsten, like Sarah and Janine and all that group, I just felt like, who's going to not want to keep going, right? And Mike Vandevoort I know as well. So it's really just been like, okay, we appreciate what Chris has done and appreciate his willingness to say, you're more than welcome to keep carrying on. So, thanks to you, I really appreciate that you've opted to do that, and I'm enjoying it.
I echo all of you guys' sentiments. I mean, like Justin alluded to, it's a lot of work. It really is. I'm learning because I'm taking over some of the administrative duties, and I'm learning it's a lot of work, and we really didn't know all the things he was doing. So it's easy to see how a person can get burned out. But, for me, I think just hearing from everybody and the overwhelming response to, I would like to keep going if that's the decision that we're going to do, made it a lot easier for me. And then when I heard from you guys and everybody was still on board, I thought we had some work that we can do, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep, doing what we need to do. And going back to what Kyle said again about the tag, those are things that we need to kind of revisit and do again. There's some other stuff that we got. I'm not going to let the cat out the bag, but there's some other things that I'm kind of working on for the group. And Kyle, you've been talking a little bit about doing something. You can talk about it. Let's, you know, put it out there. Let's see what people say.
I'll make this quick. One thing that people will learn about me, when I catch a inspiration, I have to learn everything I can about it. And one of the things that I've been all into this year was learning as much as I could about podcasting. And that is something that I think there's some interest in possibly creating some performance and podcasting is a good way to put it.
Okay. So, you know,
A little play on words there.
Yeah. I caught that.
Hey, Kyle is doing it today. He's doing the masterate.
Right. And I'm looking forward to a graphic because he's going to make a graphic out of that, too. I can see it already. Like, I'm looking for it.
You know it's coming.
Hey, we've already got Barb and Heather singing, so there you go.
Right.
You guys want to give that a shot? You want to go for that? Pick that out?
No, thanks. No, we're good. Okay. I think we're good.
Well, we got a few minutes, so I want to do a quick round of this or that with you guys. And so I'm going to ask a question, and you just tell me which one you prefer, and I'll, you know, call your name and, you know, answer the question. Ready,
whiskey.
Guys? Kind of. Hey, that is on the list, so I'm already know. It is actually one of them, so good. Good. See, you and Tiffany try to jump the gun. Slow down.
I'm sorry. I got excited.
Since you're talking, we'll go with you first. David Letterman or Jimmy Fallon? Which one, Justin?
Jimmy Fallon.
Tim?
Jimmy Fallon.
And Kyle.
Jimmy Fallon.
Ribs or steak, Kyle? Ribs or steak?
Ribs.
Tim?
Ribs.
Justin?
Steak.
You messed up for the Southern guys. I tell you what.
I don't eat pork anymore.
Well, that's new development. Anyway, hot dogs or hamburgers, Tim?
Hamburgers.
Justin?
Hamburger.
How?
Hamburger.
So I think I know the answer to these for Justin, the next two, but I'll ask Kyle and Tim first. Kyle, turkey bacon or real bacon?
Real bacon.
Tim, turkey bacon or real bacon?
Real bacon.
And Justin, you don't eat pork anymore, so you got to go with it.
I prefer real bacon, but I only eat turkey bacon. Real bacon is like meat candy. I prefer the pork. Can't do
but
it.
But you got to eat the turkey. Okay.
I have to go with the turkey, man. I have to go with
So whiskey or beer? And Justin, you already said.
Ooh, yeah, whiskey.
Whiskey. Tim?
Whiskey.
And I'm going to answer that, you guys don't want to see me drinking. That's all I'm going to say.
Noted.
Duly noted.
Before we like the Hulk.
Right, David, perfect segue. I was just about to say, now, Kyle and I share a love of comics. I don't know about Tim and Justin and I, you'll hear in a second, but Kyle, have you seen the new Avengers movie already? Have you seen it yet?
And my question to you there is, do you even have to ask?
I haven't seen it yet, yes, so that's why I'm just...
Yes, absolutely. I saw it last Saturday.
All right. How many times do you intend to see it while it's at the theater?
I'm good. I'm going to wait and then dissect it when it comes out on DVD or digital or whatever.
Tim, do you like comic book movies? Do you like comic book movies too? Or what type of movies do you like?
My son is a computer programmer these days, and as he was growing up, he was all into the digital. So I probably have seen almost any. Pixar or similar movie.
So you're not going to go see the event. Boo on you. How about you, Dustin? Are you going to take your son to go see?
Oh, we've already seen it. We saw it last week.
Oh, did you?
No.
Okay, well,
yeah,
I'm not interested. I got to get my game up.
See, one of the questions
anyway,
should be DC or Marvel.
I actually had that on here. I did. I had it written down. Well, guys, we're out of time. I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate you being on the site. I appreciate you putting up with all my emails. And I hope the audience gets a chance to go to the site and read some of your stuff. And just thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody have a good day.
You do.
Absolutely. You guys, see you next time.